Last month, my wife, daughter, and I took a family vacation up the East Coast and spent several days in the city of Boston. And there in Boston, we spent most of our time in the old downtown Boston, taking in the sights of the birth of the American Revolution. I mean, history is just dripping through the streets of Boston there. It was wonderful. But we learned something. We learned that Boston is hard to get around. Well, let me rephrase that. Boston's easy to get lost in. The streets aren't on a grid pattern. In newer parts of Boston, yes, they're on a grid pattern. But in the old, original part, it's obvious that they built houses and then put streets around them. So your streets and roads and lanes just go off in all sorts of directions. And it's easy to get turned around down there. And we did several times. But fortunately, the good people of Boston, recognizing they have a lot of visitors that come and get lost. In fact, I had two people ask me for directions, and I went, sorry, can't help you. They've put up maps at strategic intersections. There will be a large metal map with the city of Boston out, shown there. And, of course, in the middle of every map is that wonderful arrow that goes, you are here. Because without the you are here, you wouldn't know where you are. You would be looking at street signs and landmarks, trying to figure out where you are on the map and never quite sure where you are. So that arrow is immensely helpful. If you want to get someplace, well, you got to know where you are, and you've also got to know where you've come from. You can't get to where you're going without knowing where you've been and where you are. Today we're reading from the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is really just a big you are here arrow on the map of our faith. So let's talk about Hebrews. Hebrews is found in the New Testament. It's back there in the neighborhood with the letter of James. And its title, The Letter of the Hebrews, is not actually accurate because it's not really a letter like the other letters we have in the New Testament. So some scholars look on it as an essay or even an extended sermon. We don't know who authored the book. That person's name has been lost, but I like to think of them as being the pastor to a congregation they love and a congregation for which they have a great deal of interest. Now, the title Hebrews is also just a conjecture as to who the intended audience is, and it appears from the content of the letter, that from the book, that it is written to a congregation of Jewish Christians, hence the name Hebrews. We do know that the author is urging his congregation not to give up on being Christian. These people are mostly second-generation Christians. They did not know Jesus. They may have known people who knew Jesus, but they were born after Jesus had died. So this sets the letter around the year 90, we believe. And these people, these members of this congregation, have been facing difficulties. Some have been facing literal persecution, people mocking them and taking advantage of them because they are Christian. Some have become disappointed and discouraged that the promised kingdom of God has not yet come. That's the big push of being a Christian, is that the kingdom of God will be here very soon, but years have gone by. People have died. They haven't seen the kingdom yet. And so they're wondering, is this worth it? Is this what I want to do? And members of the congregation were beginning to abandon the Christian community. So as I said, Hebrews is a you are here arrow on the map of faith. It shows its readers not only where they are, but where they've been and where they are headed. One thing about those maps, the real world ones, like the ones in Boston, is at that point where the arrow points, you know, it's always worn out. The paint is disappeared. Why? Because all these people, they look here and they have to touch it. You don't need to touch it. You can see where. No, you touch that point. We are here. It gives them a tactile feeling. And then they drag their finger back. You know, we came from this way and we're going this way. So over the years, the map wears off. Same with the book of Hebrews. The people are pointing. We are here. We've come from here. We're going here. And what are those places? Well, where have they come from? The book of Hebrews tells us where they've come from by lifting up the heroes of faith. The heroes of faith that have gone before. In the section before, where our reading picks up today, they tell about Abraham and Sarah and Moses. True heroes of the faith who responded to God's call almost without question. Abraham and Sarah and Moses even hardly knew this God, but when God called, they responded. They gave their lives. They changed the direction of their lives because God called them. And then, in today's reading where it picks up, we get a second group of people below Abraham and Sarah and Moses. And he starts off saying, by faith, the people who passed through the Red Sea, as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. He's, of course, talking about the Israelites who flee slavery in Egypt to go to a place that God, again, a God they did not know that well, a God directed them. They gave up what they would see as safety and security, although in bondage in Egypt, for the complete unknown of a promised land. And the first step they had to take was this very dangerous step of walking through the parted waters of the Red Sea, which they did safely. But then when the Egyptians tried it, they were drowned. And then he talks about the walls of Jericho. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. Now, I read several articles by scholars who get a little chuckle at the wording here. It makes it sound like the walls have faith. The walls, no, the people. Because of the faith of the people, the walls fell. And then they mention Rahab, he's a professional woman, we'll say. Rahab was a Canaanite, not even an Israelite. And she lived in this land that God promised to the Israelites. So when they arrived, they didn't know what was inside this land. So they sent spies in to check it out. And the spies were in danger of being captured. And Rahab took them in and hid them. She had faith in this God, again, that she did not even know. And for this, later on, her life was spared. And then the author turns to another group. He says, look, I don't have time to go over all the heroes, but think about Gideon and Barak. Gideon was not a warrior, but he was called by God to lead the army of Israel against the army of Midian. And he led 300 men against a much, much larger army of Midianites. And Barak, who was a judge in the Old Testament, he would later become president. There was Samson and Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, and more. And what did they do? They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, and it goes on and on, listing all these things. We're not exactly sure who did each of these things, but it's important to know that heroes worked in the name of God and did great things. And then it changes over to people who worked in the name of God who suffered greatly. Some were tortured. Some were mocked and flogged. They were chained and imprisoned, stoned to death, even sawn in two, killed by the sword. They lived in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These are people who suffered for their faith. And these are the people who show us where we've come from. They show us where we've been. They are those who have gone before, lifting up the faith so that we might be here today. And on the map of faith with the "you are here," they show us where they've come from. And now we come to the point of where are we now? And that is where the author says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. That is where we are. We are in this place surrounded by the witnesses. That is the heroes who have gone before, the people who have shaped our faith, the people who have shaped our lives. Some we know, most we don't. But you want to know where you are? You are surrounded by people of faith. And so therefore, set aside the weights and the sin that holds you down, and now run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Where are you? You are here surrounded by the saints of the past, and your job now is to run. So you came this way on the map, you're here, and now you're to go this way. And so where are you going? You are to follow Jesus. Where are we going? We are to look to Jesus, who is what Hebrews famously calls the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And I love the word pioneer. If you're thinking about the pioneers going west, perfect image to have in your mind. Think of someone in that Conestoga wagon heading into the great unknown, not having any idea what is out there, being the first to blaze that trail so that others may follow. That is who Jesus is. He is the pioneer of the faith, going where no one has gone before. And he will suffer. He will endure the cross despite the shame of that horrible death. But he will do it with joy, not for the joy of suffering, but for the joy of knowing that others will follow. That is where we're going. We are to run with perseverance the race, following the one who is setting out the course for us, who's driving his wagon west to a new way of life. And there Jesus has taken his seat at the right hand of God. And so, we find ourselves here. We know where we are. The book of Hebrews offers us this wonderful map and the arrow that points where we are. And it reminds us that despite whatever weariness or disappointment we might have in our journey of faith, we're not the first. Others have gone before, and many of them suffered. And we are called to suffer along with them if necessary. We've seen those who come before, the great multitude of witnesses who by their faith conquered kingdoms, endured persecution, and they remain steadfast, and they are calling on us to do the same. And so we stand here surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses and their faith, their struggles, and their triumphs. They form the paths that are behind us. They've guided our feet. They comforted our hearts. They've run their race, and now it's our turn. And we know the journey is not easy. The road has its share of burdens and challenges. But as I've said, we're not alone. We're not lost. Because on this map of our faith, we don't just have the road behind us. We know where we're going. It points to our future. It tells us that we are to follow our Christ, for he is the ultimate destination. He is the finish line. He is the one who has already won the victory. He ran that race perfectly and invites us to do the same. And because of him, we can run that race perfectly. Those heroes of the past, they couldn't. They did not have Christ with them. And this is what the author of Hebrews is telling his people. Hold on. Have faith. You have Christ. You have something that those in the past did not have. He is the one who will make your faith perfect. Hold on. Stay with it. So we too should keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Turn our eyes towards Jesus. Cast off the weights and the sins that hold us back and run with perseverance. And may we always know that no matter where we are on this map, our ultimate hope, our rock, our Redeemer is there with us. Amen.